You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Coming up in this episode, we take you to the beautiful Hollywood Pantages Theater for opening night of the revival of The Color Purple. What an incredible show. And we're going to be talking to you before the show, at intermission, afterward. Plus, we'll actually got to sit down with a couple of cast members. You're going to love them. So without any further ado, oh, also thank you to the Pantages for sending us some of the music from the Broadway cast recording. So without any further ado, it's curtains up on another episode of West of Broadway. Welcome to West of Broadway, a celebration of theater in Los Angeles. I am radio host, I guess, and podcast host, and theater enthusiast Lara Scott, along with my partner in crime here, Will Armstrong, celebrity publicist and theater veteran. And we're coming to you, well, we're live right now. We're upstairs at the Pantages, the Hollywood Pantages Theater, for opening night of The Color Purple.
Yeah, Lara, this is so exciting. I'm so happy to be back at, I feel like our second home is Pantages.
It's our home in Hollywood. Exactly. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, the 2016 Tony Award winner for Best Musical Revival. I was joking with you, Will, because when we saw Hamilton, you knew nothing about it. I'm like, you haven't even listened to the soundtrack. You're like, no, I don't even know who was Hamilton. And I feel that way. I never saw this movie, never read the book, haven't seen the show. So excited.
Well, the Steven Spielberg film came out in 1985, mm-hmm. and it put me through it back then. Yeah. It's like watching three movies in one. It's such a beautiful, incredible, inspiring story, and I'm really thrilled to see it translated into... This is the second incarnation of a musical theater production. The original starred La Chance on Broadway, and then this second revival was, like I said, like you said, it was a Tony Award winner for Best Revival, and it has been so well received across the country, and I'm so excited and thrilled. Also because one of my close, dear friends, Gabrielle Reed, is in the production. She understudies Celie, who is the lead character.
Oh, cool. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sure she's going to get to go on at some point during the run.
I don't think we're going to see her tonight.
No, I wish we could. Well, hopefully, maybe it's going to be here. So tonight is opening night, May 29th. It's going to be running through June 17th. Tickets are available. And cilantro go down the wrong pipe. We had dinner at Delphine right before this. But the New York Times has called this a glory to behold. I can't wait. We were just walked in past the red carpet, and it's a crazy scene out there. People are really, really excited.
It's super, super cool, and I'm really, really excited. And they are flashing lights right now to tell everyone to get to their seats. So what if we come out during intermission and we kind of give a first impression of the first act?
I love that. And I was just trying to tweet as I was talking to tell people to meet us in the bar at intermission downstairs to tell us what they think.
I'm pretty sure we'll be able to tackle somebody and be like, hey, yeah.
What do you think of the show? What do you think about the show? All right, so we'll be back. We're going in.
Awesome. I am backstage with the beautiful Gabrielle Reed and Clyde Boche.
Yay!
They are both cast members in The Color Purple, and thank you guys. I know, especially the first week, I know it's so time intensive with traveling, getting all situated, mm-hmm. and then opening nights, and then the opening night party, and all that, and then you have understudy rehearsals, which is today. Today's Thursday. It's understudy rehearsals. So, Gabrielle, what is understudy rehearsal?
Oh, understudy rehearsal is where at least, like, there's two understudies for every role. And one set of those understudies will get together in the afternoon with the stage managers and basically run the show. Today was a slightly different one where we have a new understudy that just came into the show. Okay. A new guy that just came into the show last week. He started either last week or the week before.
Yes.
And then so now he's learning his understudy role of Harpo. So it was basically walking him through the show, all of the Harpo specific scenes and things today.
Wow. Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And Gabrielle, you have a role. You play Olivia.
Yes.
And you understudy two roles.
Yes, I understudy Celie and Squeak.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And Clyde, you are a straight up understudy. Or swing.
Swing and understudy.
Swing and understudy.
Yes.
So you understudy all the men in the ensemble and some of the ensemble principal roles?
I understudy all of the men except for Harpo and Grady.
Wow.
Excellent. So,
and did I hear
a rumor? And then also understudy.
Understudy Mister. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long have you been on the tour?
Since we started.
Since the beginning. We started September 5th. I think we went out on the road like mid-October-ish.
Yeah.
October 10th-ish or something like that.
Last year.
Yeah.
And, wow. And but I heard a rumor that you're not long for this tour.
I'm not.
Excellent. Where are you off to?
I can't say yet.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Can't say yet, but I will be sadly mm-hmm. leaving in Charlotte will be my last week, so it's in about 6 weeks.
Oh, okay. Wow, yeah. It'll go fast.
He's making the history too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we'll say enough there, but I will definitely I will definitely recap this and make an announcement when I get the go ahead.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's wonderful. And also congratulations on being part of such an amazing show. It was really I love the movie so much, and I felt like it paid tribute to the movie, but I felt like I was seeing something a little bit different. A little
absolutely.
I think it moved through things swiftly because it had to.
It has to. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But it also touched on things and highlighted them more than what I was aware of. Like playing Celie.
Yeah, yeah.
When I saw the movie, I was just impressed with the fact that her relationship with Shug, it was definitely tender, it was definitely sweet, there was definitely a connection, but I thought it was more, I didn't see it was as much of a romance as it
You're
is
right.
here.
You're right, because it's definitely that the musical, both the original and this revival, it takes over more of the book story.
Yeah,
that was
a
my
lot
question.
Of that, a lot of that Shug and Celie relationship is much more fleshed out, and even more than what you see in the show.
Yeah.
Much more fleshed out, and you really, really get to see the reason why Celie becomes who she is.
Exactly.
And it's all because of these two wonderful women that were in her life pushing her forward throughout all of it.
How weird is it that, and I'm sure every city that you go into, you get asked the same question or they draw the same, like, where we are in, as a society and how it's holding a mirror up to this book that was, like, been around for 30 years, you know? It is so, like, how empowering is it to be performing these production numbers where it's all about women standing up for their rights and standing up and saying, no more, I'm not going to. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty huge. It was something that I was a little bit scared of in this climate right now, but all of that got washed away the second that, particularly when we got to the South, which I thought was going to be a little weird with 22 black kids coming in and giving you all this gospel and all this thing and blah, blah, blah. But however, especially in cities that you weren't totally sure about, we went to Greenville, South Carolina. I will never forget this. We were also collecting for Broadway Cares at the time. So we were out in the front.
Broadway Cares is...
Oh yeah, Broadway Cares. Equity Fights AIDS. Amazing organization. Mm-hmm. Every winter and springtime, the theater community does a big donation for them from the audiences of all the shows. And it raises millions of dollars.
Millions.
I think this year we did like $7.5 million
Amazing.
Or something. It was crazy.
Great.
So we were out there collecting, and I could count probably 10 people that said in some way or another the exact phrase of, thank you so much for bringing us back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh my God, I've never been so alive. Oh my God, I just feel alive, blah, blah, blah. You brought me to life, blah, blah, blah. Like, and just everyone's red face with tears and blah, blah, blah. And then there was another city where one woman said she's a season ticket holder. She comes to every single show, big theater fan. And she said, this is the first show of the season. And we were like the fifth show of the season that the person next to her talked to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's an emotional, powerful show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sucked in, but there were people having
legit conversations about the show,
like being like
they don't know each other,
it was like, and I was like, "Could you gee, it's sick."
Yeah, right.
But it's just like it's touching on a lot right now, and it's crazy. And so, with the tour being about a year old now, so like you saw the Me Too situation happen, the movement happened here.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Like, I mean, the second that Sophia like has that song and she stands up, like people are like, and it's just like you're in a church.
Carrie Compare, who plays Sophia, she has an amazing story. She was in the original Broadway company of this revival, and she got to bump up to Sophia for the last couple months. Mm-hmm. And she always tells the story of someone that wrote into her after seeing the show and said that literally after Hell No, she made the decision to take her and her three children out of an abusive marriage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like right after that song, she literally was like, "Hell no," and that left an abusive relationship.
So here we are at intermission. What do you think of the show so far?
You know, for me, honestly, it got off to kind of a slow start.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, like I love it's gospel influenced music, jazz, blues. The cast has the most beautiful, incredible voices. But just as far as the story, it was a little slow. But by the time Sophia shows up and then Shug Avery comes to town and then we meet Squeak, you know, in the course of all that, I mean, just the different characters that are coming in really kind of steal the show. But at the same time, the gal who's playing Celia, and I have to look up her name in the playbill, even just her posture, the way she stands, she's, and I've said this about a lot of actors I like in classic films, she's remarkable because she's so unremarkable. It's such an understated, beautiful performance that by the end of the first act, I was like, what's going to happen with her? Like, yeah.
What I loved, okay, so remember when the Amundsen did Into the Woods and it was super understated
stripped
and like
down.
This is what that it's very reminiscent of that. It's taking me to the simplest form where it's about the music and the performances. There's no huge set pieces.
No, there's just chairs.
They're just chairs. And it's really simple and beautiful and lovely, and I just it's everything that you need and nothing more.
Right, because I think the power of the performances and the story, and I'm still not sure exactly where we're headed. I mentioned I haven't read the book or seen the movie, but I'm happy I'm along for the ride, and you really do get to focus on these incredible performers.
And so much about this historical story is so important right now, like as far as like what they're talking about like women's like being property and stuff. And,
was the song Hell No?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's the name of the song. Yeah. Exactly. Like, Hell No. Yeah.
And I just think that's such a, like the audience really got into it, and really when the women were just like, no, you're not going to hit me. You're not going to treat me like that. I'm not property, you know, and it was really amazing.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting time in America, and it's so important for us to remember that this happened and where we came from and where we're going.
Yeah, it definitely, the audience is loving it. I don't know if it's a show for kids. I mean, there are definitely some grown-up themes.
Yes.
The storyline might be a little confusing to follow, but yeah, it's a great opening night crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. Want to do the second act?
The lights are flashing. Yeah, we got to go. Lights keep flashing at us.
Okay, we're going in for the second act. I also had a question about costuming, like, because the second act with the pants being introduced and the colors being introduced, it symbolizes some stuff, right? It's like, well,
the only thing that pops in my head right now is that I remember at one point John Doyle was asking people a lot what the color purple meant to you.
Right.
And one of our castmates was saying that just in the color spectrum, period, purple is actually the rarest color.
Yeah,
sure.
So there could be a strong possibility of purposely leaving that color out.
Right.
So that the audience does get to make their own interpretation.
Well, I thought it would have been so on the nose if you were.
Exactly, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. But, and maybe these are just my correlations. Yeah. But I mean, there's a rainbow up on stage.
Yeah.
You know, where in the first act, it is very not that.
You know? And actually, I think it was another audience member that made the correlation of that in the beginning of the show, Squeak and Shug are the only ones that are in color because they actually kind of like their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually change. They shift how the energy of the entire story feels.
Exactly.
You know, Squeak brings in like a newness of things when she comes in, and everything's like a circular pattern because she just is the new fun energy to the show. So it's I mean, what is she, pink overalls?
Yeah,
pink. Yeah.
So as To be able to understudy those two
yeah.
completely different
yeah.
roles,
yeah.
but, okay, so, like, Steely is just, like, a dream role. Like, that's
yeah.
a dream, the role
yeah.
of a lifetime.
Yeah.
And then...
It's actually something I never thought I would... It wasn't even on my radar, ever.
It is... I mean, there's a lot of responsibility with that role.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
But Squeak, it's like... And you also have to do... Or have had, in the past, have had to do something called the Olivia Squeak track.
Split track, yes.
What's a split track?
A split track happens when, say, like our swings, like Clyde, when there's more than two people out of their regular tracks. Actually, more than three people. Is that right? More than three people. Where the two swings that are available, there's one track that still needs to be covered. So they'll kind of go through the show and say, okay, well, these two tracks, we could possibly cut this track, or these two tracks could be combined. So in the Squeak Olivia track, I would like start the show as Squeak. I would go to this chair move as Olivia,
right.
then go back to this thing as Squeak, and it kind of just goes through the show, and I bop back and forth between each person.
Because it is almost, it's so almost experimental theater with everyone on stage and with the chair, and very minimal, mm-hmm. I think you can get away with that really easily. The hardest part is the staging to make sure that the props are in the right places.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't think it would affect
very
the story
hard.
As much. Yeah.
Well, it can in this one.
Yeah.
It can, because certain certain chairs, as you notice the whole
yeah.
show is chairs,
mm-hmm.
They have to be in certain places by certain times.
The
yeah.
chairs are their own musical.
And once they're set, you're not allowed, you can't go and touch that chair again. If it's in the wrong spot, it's in the wrong spot. We have to figure out another way
wow.
to make that chair.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I set the chair I set in Africa
mm-hmm.
at the guard, if I don't set it correctly, that is Celie's chair that she uses for her number.
Wow.
But that's, what, four numbers before that even
right.
happens? So
yep.
if you don't set that chair, Celie doesn't have a chair to touch.
Right.
Not good.
Right, right.
But, and it's difficult because there's no, most shows have spike marks or number
right.
lines. We don't have
nothing.
Any of that. So it's kind of like, is this where
so
it
it's
is?
Kind of like this
nope.
area.
Okay.
And you start like looking on the wooden floor. You're like, okay, there's a nail right there.
Right.
And it's about 5 feet away from this point. So if I go in the middle of that, I think
just
that's
commit.
What they're saying.
I'm going to commit to putting this here.
What was the reaction of the cast? Because it is a bunch of different ages, a bunch of different physical abilities. Like, they're all standing on chairs. Like, I mean, like,
yeah.
is it intimidating for some of them? Like, or you get used to it?
I think you get used to it.
Cool.
There's pretty much two rules. You know, try to put it all in the same space, and then never set it in a groove.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you go stand on it, and you're like, whoa!
Sometimes, before you stand on it,
you might give it a little jiggle.
See if it's waggling, you're
yeah.
like, not
you just, you're just, you know, shift it a little bit, but yeah.
You know, Clyde,
mm-hmm.
throughout the, like, what part of the show as a male member of the show,
mm-hmm.
what part of the show do you most connect with, or do you feel as...
Oh, I guess it depends on who I'm playing.
Sure.
Moment, but, I think I connect with this entire show,
mm-hmm.
because this show, my family's from the South, so, like, this all... These are women that I grew up with.
Right.
These are men that I grew up with. So it all makes sense to me. It was not weird, but it was just kind of odd that this hadn't been shown before.
Yeah.
And you know, people were like, oh, these women. I was like, this was my everyday. This is not a new thing for me. But things that really start to connect is when, you know, John so brilliantly puts in, like, he'll say, you know, he's had one thing. He's like, Suge, she has too many gifts and being extraordinary to be an ordinary person. I'm like, ah, oh, she can't be normal. That sucks. That's us. We can't be normal. We don't have normal lives, but we can't. Because, you know, she has a purpose in what she's doing. And same thing with Sophia, you know. So as a guy in this show, I don't...
Yeah, this is the answer I expected, because it
yeah.
is so about celebrating these women.
It's
know?
About the women.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, there's some amazing performances from the men.
Yes,
but they're
of course.
but they're not put in a light where
we're
you want to celebrate.
To support.
Yeah.
yeah, but I
and
do still think that it's still really universal, though. At the same time,
yes.
just because we've watched grown men in the front audience, you know, being
oh.
like, "Oh, my wife brought me
oh,
here,"
absolutely.
Blah blah blah, and by the end of the show, they are prune faced, tears, just like, "Oh my God,
yes.
God is so good." Blah blah.
Lara is like, she has a bunch of tells. Like, she was sitting to my left, and we were watching House Left, and I could, every once in a while her hand would just come up and just like wipe her face. Yes. Wipe her face.
Yeah.
It was so sweet. And so it's just really amazing. Gabrielle. I was waiting
for it.
It happened. It's okay. It's going to happen.
I can.
You've known me a long time, y'all.
So yeah, let's get into that. We worked on cruise ships back in the
Disney
day.
That was like my first professional job. That was so long ago. Yeah. I was like 19.
Yeah. And just to watch you blossom from this, because you went to AMDA.
Yes.
And so you came out ready to be a working performer, but like, we still back then had a lot to learn
and we had
a lot to grow. Yeah. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to work on a cruise ship where it's like day in, day out, you're performing.
Yeah.
And then Gabrielle and I, we moved to New York around the same time and we kind of did the, like, and just to watch your career blossom in such a, one thing I was really proud about when I saw the playbill and I opened it up is you've officially, there's this thing like when you have to put all your credits in.
Yes.
But after you get to a certain point, you can just put
your
favorite
roles.
You
can just put your favorite roles. Yes, not just the only ones you've done. Yes.
And I was like, oh, she's got her favorites on there. She was like, Jared, I don't have to put what I did in high school.
Right,
what I
did
in college. But yeah, no, so I was very, very proud of you because you, I mean, Hairspray, Mamma Mia, Rent,
Hair.
Footloose, like a
beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. How could I look beautiful out? Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But yeah. No, and like what an amazing experience and career that you've continue to have. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's amazing.
Thank you. It's amazing.
But as a woman who understudies the lead role in this very powerful play, how do you find the strength to get to the place to perform these roles and how do you leave it on the stage every night?
A lot of it just has to do with a lot of, even when I was prepping for the audition, because it was a role that I never thought I was even close to doing. I related to it. I loved it, but I was just like, it's not me. It's not Gabrielle. And then, once I started really coaching the material, I just found, it was the first time in a very, very long time where I was able to understand putting myself into a role to make it my own. And of course, not doing the role every day, I have to sing through it like probably 3 times a week.
Sure.
Definitely have to take much better care of myself because she could call out at any time.
Yep.
She's dear Adriana. She's very, very good at just being like, "Hey, girl, just let you know." So she is just so kind of her because she does not have to do.
Sure.
I have to keep myself prepped a lot. Like, I still carry my script with me. I have a digital copy on my phone,
right?
You know, so I can just look over things every now and again. I try to keep prepped so I don't ever have to get prepped.
Right. You know what I mean? You don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
I was trying not to completely corporate all, but,
just do it.
A girl is who she is. Come on.
So in this podcast, I pretty much every episode, I end up working RuPaul into the conversation. I don't mean to. But we'll go to a premiere, and I'll be like, I was sitting behind RuPaul. So here's the obligatory
spirit,
RuPaul.
You know? She's always around. What are you going to do?
She's my spirit animal.
But I know.
You guys, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. It means
so
the most. And thank you for the gift of the show and your performances. And good luck to you on the rest of your tour and the rest of your careers. And please, let's get together when you come back.
Yay. Yes. I love it. Thanks, Will.
Thank you.
Here we are. We're standing at the W waiting for our cars. We just got out of the Color Purple. I'm wiping my eyes and my nose because that second half, I was saying at intermission that the actress who was playing Celia, I said, wow, she's remarkable for being so unremarkable in this performance, that just her posture, the way she carried herself. But things certainly change in the second half. I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything, but just seeing the transformation that comes to her character absolutely blew me away.
Yeah. And the female ensemble in particular was so strong and so supported.
Yeah.
They all worked together so beautiful. What about the three women that are kind of like the chorus and kind of like the...
Like the Greek chorus in this.
They're like these three gossips that kind of like help move the story along by telling you what's going on by gossiping.
Yes, but and asking so the questions we're all thinking.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's really, really cool.
No, that's a great point. Well, I love that the guys didn't try to outshine the women. Like they weren't competing with them. I mean, they were strong in their own right. And it was really, really interesting, the Albert character, getting to hear a little bit of his backstory and why he was the way he was. It's just a wonderful actor who portrayed him. But just like you were saying, I felt like not just in the story, but also in this production, the way that the women supported each other and looked out for each other, I thought was so inspiring and beautiful and very timely.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I think there are a lot of, because the book has been around for a long time, but the message is just as new and just as fresh and just as important as it was.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's why it's a classic, right? Yeah. It's these timeless themes that we deal with. But I just thought the production was absolutely terrific. At standing ovation almost before the last song ended. And beautiful music, beautiful songs. It's going to be here for a few weeks. We're going to do a whole show on this and really get a little bit more in depth. So, but we would love to hear from you too. If you see this, let us know what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. And make sure to leave us messages on Facebook and let us know if you saw the show or if you have any questions for us, or let us know what other stuff you want us to cover here.
On West of Broadway. And okay, well, shoulders back. Standing tall. Being thankful that we're here.
Excellent. All right, so we'll talk to you soon.
Just crazy about the show. We loved it so much. And if you're in Southern California, I'm recording this June 5th, 2018. You still have some time to catch the revival of The Color Purple at the Hollywood Pantages Theater. It's on through June 17th, and then it moves down to Orange County, Costa Mesa, Sagerstrom Center for the Arts, June 19th through 24th, then on to Seattle, Charlotte, Chicago, Washington, D.C. You can check out all the dates and get more info at colorpurple.com. You can find us at westofbroadwaypodcast.com on social media. Just search for West of Broadway. We love to hear from you. If there's a show in Southern California you think we should check out, let us know about it. And if you're looking for us, you can find us West of Broadway.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.